morning. This is Lance Kenmore at the Kenmore Team of Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. And speaking of that contact info, thanks to everybody that called in last week. We probably had five or six calls after the show last week and help some people answer some great questions. So we appreciate that. And I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this show a possibility. So, John, how have you been?
Busy.
Yes, you've got that whole fair thing coming up, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so.
Dancing with steers.
Busy, busy, busy.
Oh, it'll be fun.
It'll be.
We're going to have a news talk day out there on Saturday the 28th.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. And we've got, of course, with us in the studio, our lending expert. We have Mr. Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage. Scott, how are you doing?
Doing great. Happy to be here. Having fun, like always.
Good. Well, great to see you. We always like to start the show off with some local news, talk about some real estate, what's happening out there. So on the residential side, I was just going to talk about some lots. There's some new subdivisions that we're starting to see the dirt machines out there moving around, and we've got some new phases breaking out. So if you're on Keene and you look up on the hillside, you can see that they've started work on the next phase of West Cliff, so there's going to be some beautiful view lots available up there. So take a look at that. And then we also have some new lots are getting closer to coming online out near Meadow Springs, in the Heights of Meadow Springs. And so, you know, there's not always a lot of lots available around that neighborhood and in that area of South Richland. So if you have any questions about that or looking to build later this year, we'd love to get you information on those lots and help you out on those. From a convenience standpoint, and definitely affecting real estate values, of course, there's still a lot of work going on the Steptoe extension right now. If you're by Steptoe, it looks like a war zone around that place.
It does.
And then you added to, they started the excavation this week on the potential, on the location for the Rite Aid store. Yep. On the opposite corner.
Yep, the old convenience store.
Yeah, and so they were hauling gas tanks out of there and excavators, and yeah, that it is definitely a war zone in that part of Richland and Kennewick, but there is going to be some great new amenities coming. It's going to provide a lot of great access for that area. A little bit on a little bit more serious note, there was some national news that came out this week, and it's kind of what we thought had been happening. We'd talked about this briefly on the short sale and foreclosure shows, but I just wanted to update everybody that what we thought was happening is true, and that's unfortunate. But what's happening is the numbers came out this week that half the people that have signed up into the HAFA program, the government's foreclosure program, half of the people have dropped out of that program.
Wow.
Now, there's a lot of reasons why that's happening: the cumbersome amounts of paperwork that has to be done, the slow response times. They are spinning it that a lot of those numbers, they said people are getting assistance in other spots and better deals. But by better deals and assistance in other spots, what's really happening is what we talked about on the show, is a lot of those people are ending up having to short sale the house. So we've talked about the services we can provide for short sales and getting people out of those problems in a quicker manner than maybe some of the other programs can, and kind of what we were thinking was happening seems to be the truth behind those numbers.
Kind of the spinning that's maybe along the lines of unemployment and what the real numbers are.
Yeah, there's definitely, that's exactly right. Those of us that are in it and doing it, yeah, there is definitely some difference to what's happening. Most of the people that I was working with on short sales had already fallen out of that program, and I could see it coming a couple months ago. So if you have any questions about notice of defaults, foreclosure notices, the numbers aren't line in the national stories coming out or proving that that's true. So we'd love to talk to you. But enough about sellers. It seems like we talk a lot about sellers. We've decided to shift our focus a little bit over the next couple of weeks and talk a little bit about buyers and how we can help buyers get into these homes. We've got these crazy rates that Scott has been telling us about.
Ridiculous.
Cobalt.
Ridiculous
rates. And so I was reading through this last week, an issue of U.S. News and World Report, and I just came across a great, great article that keyed in my mind of a topic we should do for the show. It was 10 rookie homebuyer mistakes to avoid.
I love that.
I know all week the promos have been saying I was going to talk about five, but that's usually because we run out of time on the show.
Five just gets us warmed up.
So anyway, as we went through this, it was just a super well-written article. We had talked about most of these on the show before, but it's a great review for people that are thinking about buying in the next 6 months, or especially first-time homebuyers who have never bought a home. Please turn up the radio and listen to some of this as we go through this.
And take notes. Please take notes, because you want to be as prepared as you can be.
And it comes from a reputable source, U.S. News and World Report. That's not like Newsweek or Time.
It's great. And, oh, boy, that's deep. You trapped me into that.
That was a slant right there,
wow,
wasn't it? Just
wow.
A little bit.
Wow. So this is adjusted and approved by Lance Kenmore. So there you go. So number one mistake to avoid as a home buyer when you're looking into a property and if you're thinking about buying in the future is the number one mistake is not checking your credit report and score. And this is long before we've even talked about getting pre-qualified or pre-approved. Mm-hmm. But not checking your credit score, your credit report and your score is huge, because nowadays, Scott can speak to this more than I can, but most of the best interest rates that we're talking about have to do with people that have credit scores at 720 or above. Is
even
that not
740,
correct?
Yeah, I mean, and there's really important things that you can do, and that's to just look and see what your high credit limit is as it pertains to your current balance. So if you have a $1,000 high credit limit on your card and you are above 50% of that high credit limit, it can actually have a negative impact on your credit scores. So there are some things that you can start doing proactively to bring those scores where they need to be to take advantage of these interest rates.
And along those same lines, I mean, we know that if there's disputes or mistakes, those don't happen overnight. Like, if you have to correct those disputes or those mistakes, it would be better to do it a couple months prior to when you're looking for your house,
right. Mm-hmm.
than once you're in the transaction and you're under a major time constraint.
Right. There has to be enough time to re-report that stuff.
It takes quite a bit of time. They take their time.
And so one thing you can do is we always tell everybody, you can access a free copy of your credit report at annualcreditreport.com. Now, folks, don't get that confused with freecreditreport.com, because a lot of people do, because they
good
see
point.
TV commercials and stuff. But annualcreditreport.com is where you can actually get the free copy.
With no strings attached.
Yes. The other is just a very, well, we'll call him smart, I guess, businessman that...
Shrewd,
and it's not free. And so definitely go to annualcreditreport.com, check your credit score, see where you're at. If there's discrepancies, Scott can put you in touch with somebody that can help you fix those.
Absolutely. Or feel free to give me a call. 727-6004, and let me know what it looks like, and I can kind of go over it with you. There might be duplicates, and there might be real easy things that you can do to fix that. Did I say 6727? It's 737.
Yes, you're thinking my number.
Right,
that's
right. Because
okay.
I called you on the way.
I'm glad that it's working.
737-6004.
Okay, so number two. Let's move on to our number two mistake after that, and this really speaks. I'm just going to let Mr. Ridgway take this one because it's all up his alley. And our number two mistake is not getting
pre-approved.
Scott, talk to us about that.
And let's not even use the word pre, because pre is kind of a definition of something that's going to happen before the real deal. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about being lender approved or Scott approved, because I don't want anybody in Lance's car that he's out running around all over town doing everything he can within his powers to help you if you are not ready to make a decision or be able to transact. So call me. Let's get through all the preliminary details. Let's make sure that you know what your payments are going to look like, where your cash to close is going to come from, if there's any changes that you need to make in your credit to get your scores where they need to be, so that you are ready to utilize Lance's time. He's a very busy man.
It's never been more important. I mean, through the years that I've done this, even 2 years ago, it got to where people were, I mean, we know because of the housing crisis and the meltdown, we know people were able to shop first and then get a loan for really whatever they wanted.
Right.
I mean, that's what the environment that had happened 2 and 3 years ago. And now it's never been more important, because the pendulum has swung the other way, and people that think that they have 30 or 40% down, it should be no problem. And in the old days, you used to be able to just throw cash at stuff until you could make it work. And even nowadays, even with a lot of cash down, sometimes people are shocked and surprised at what they can or can't get. Mm-hmm. And so with the lending world being under so much scrutiny and being so tight, that point has never been more important.
You know, and I spoke with a gentleman this morning that's self-employed, and he said, I just can't understand why it is so much more difficult for me to get a loan than my W-2'd employees. And so there's a big difference between being W-2'd, housing, or your employment history, and if you're self-employed, on how you will qualify with today's credit guidelines. Because, yes, you're right, they are very different than they were even 1 or 2 years ago.
That's exactly. And it's a funny thing to think that the guy writing the checks for the other employees, the employees might not have any problems. Some of his employees, just because they're W-2, could probably get the house, but he might not be able to from the nature of the way his business is set up.
Exactly. So it's real important to get that covered early.
Definitely. Number three, this is just a huge one, and this is just all around smart advice for buyers and for anyone in general. But the biggest mistake you can make, one of the biggest mistakes you can make, is not creating a long-term budget. And I mean, we just came out of the housing crisis, and if that proved anything, it's that people were getting mortgages who clearly did not have a means to pay them back. So I mean, avoid making this mistake. You should sit down with somebody that knows what your taxes are going to be. What's the potential that your taxes could go up? What's your insurance going to be? How much should you be devoting out of your budget for repairs and maintenance if you're buying an older home? What type of cost should you have for pest control? What should you have for lawn care? And what should you have in an emergency fund? And usually by the time you get done with that budget and look at all of that, you might be needing to look at a smaller house than you thought you should be looking at the beginning. And, you know, we don't want to see any of our clients get into an overextended problem where they can't afford the house later on. So looking at your ratios and looking what you can do with your long-term budget is a huge, huge thing to look at.
You know, and that's why, Lance, you do such a great job bringing guests into this show, because the guests that you bring onto this show are people that work in those areas. So you have a huge network of people that you trust and count on that can help your clients, or my clients, all of our clients, with great contacts to be able to put a realistic budget together in those areas. So that's something that you folks out there really need to realize, that Lance has a lot of people that he can call on to help you.
He knows people.
There we go. And kind of as a segue into this, our next point, and Scott can talk about this too, is knowing what you need to have on hand to purchase the house. And that involves not forgetting about the hidden costs. It's not just 3.5% down,
right,
to buy a house. Scott, what else do we have to be concerned about for buyers?
You've got closing costs, which are loan fees, appraisal, title, escrow, recording. The list kind of goes down. And those are third-party fees that go to all the other people in the huge carnival that we kind of oversee in putting a transaction together that need to be paid. And then also, if you're putting less than 20% down on a conventional loan, or if you're doing an FHA loan, you have to have money available for reserves or to have put aside for future tax and homeowners insurance payments. So those are called prepaids. So in certain instances, you can have other people, if you've got relatives or family, gift you those funds. But what you want to plan on is having your down payment, your closing costs, and your prepaids available so that no matter what, you're able to transact.
Exactly. So whether that's coming from your own money, coming mm-hmm. from gift funds from a relative, or coming from a down payment assistance program that the cities provide, we need to plan for those costs, and you need to know that those are there.
And we can give an estimate real easy so that people can know in advance and be planning or even saving towards that goal.
That's exactly right. Those are good points, and those are hidden costs to know about. We are definitely coming up on a break. We made it through more of the points than I thought we would before the first break. So I don't think we're going to get through all 10, but we'll definitely get through our 5 or 6 that we wanted to. We'll be back with the next 4 most important mistakes that buyers can avoid in the home buying process after this break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
folks, welcome back. We've been trying to help our buyers out there by talking about some of the top mistakes that buyers can avoid when looking to purchase a house. We have these screaming low interest rates. We still have a great market around here. We have a lot of buyers out there looking. And so we're giving them a couple tips today on the show, things that they can remember when they're looking for a house and what to do and what not to do. And we're on to our next major mistake that they can avoid, and this is picking your real estate agent and lender blindly.
Oh, see, I had it written down differently.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Making a major mistake if you're not using a professional real estate agent.
Okay, well, I'm giving the mistake, and then we're avoiding it. So,
yes.
So definitely, but the thing about it is just talk to some people, talk to your friends and family. There's a lot of great agents in this town. There's a lot of people that have had good experiences with those agents, and they tend to continue to have good experiences with them. So talk to your neighbors. You know, when you see a house sell quickly, talk to that seller before they leave and see how their mm-hmm. experience was.
Make sure the guy you use doesn't have a trunk full of luggage.
Yeah, exactly.
Real estate professional.
Yes. So we definitely want to use relatives, friends, neighbors, and coworkers for referrals, and that'll go a long way. Make sure you're comfortable with the person you're working with. Some people are better at working with first-time home buyers. Some people are better at working with high-end home sales. So just make sure that who you're dealing with directly is who you're comfortable with, and it fits your parameters. You know, we're not here to pressure people into stuff. Make sure you're not in a high-pressure situation. Mm-hmm. This is a huge, huge decision. So make sure you're there with someone that's going to guide you and help you and not pressure you into that decision. So those are huge. And Scott, I'm sure
excellent
you can
point.
Talk to the similar type of points with the lender.
Well, you know, with the difference in licensing now, it didn't used to be that mortgage professionals had to be licensed, and that's something that they have gone to now, which I completely endorse, because it weeds out the people that just got in because they thought they could do it, and the people that are taking it to higher levels of professionalism with educational credits and additional ongoing continuing educational classes to stay on top of what's going on in the market and all the compliance guidelines and new forms and all that stuff. And that's happening in your industry too, I know that.
Definitely. We've changed our licensing requirements, more education. You want to be with someone that's leaps and bounds ahead of those and have already met those long before it even comes up, and that's usually always the case with us full-time professionals.
You know, the other thing that you said that I really like is talk with people that have closed transactions with people, because there's a lot of professionals even in the industry that may not close as many transactions, which may not, you know, they may still do a lot of the marketing and advertising, and they're out there, but when you're talking to people that have actually closed transactions, that's really what's going to lead you to the people that are really doing the business.
It definitely is. And so it's a great way for you to keep a pulse on things and talk to those folks. Like I said, Scott and I always say there's a lot of great lenders and a lot of great real estate agents mm-hmm. in this town that we do business with. And you're going to figure out who those are pretty quickly. So that's mm-hmm. a great way to do it. And that also, this next point is... Man, sometimes I'm glad somebody else said it and not me, but I can reaffirm this point. And this is a huge, huge deal when you're looking for your first home, especially, and the key being you're looking inside your budget. And the next thing, the mistake to avoid is thinking that you will get everything on your wish list. Now, if you notice on the show, if you weren't with us in the first segment, one of the top two or three mistakes that we went over was not creating a long-term budget. There's a reason why we had you create the budget first, get pre-approved first, and now we're going to work on your wish list. I mean, because you might want a two-car garage, you might want three beds, you might want two baths, and you might want a view of the river, and you might be pre-approved for $120,000. And when you call me, I'm going to be very honest with you and tell you that is not going to happen. Okay. And
yeah. So, but that's what people need to hear, not what they want to hear, but what
right.
they need to hear.
And so what we need to do is we need to sit down and have a serious look and say, okay, let's take a look at this. Mm-hmm. If you what's number one? Well, three bedrooms is the biggest. We have two kids and ourselves, three is the best. Great. Okay. What's number two? Is it the view of the river or is it two bathrooms? For some people, it might be the view of the river because they spend a lot of time outside.
Too bad.
Mm-hmm. John's over here saying, for me, it's next two bathrooms. So what we're going to do is we're going to prioritize that list of five or six things on your dream list, put it in priority, and then when we come across a great property that might have the top three most important, we're going to give it serious, serious consideration. And so really having that wish list down, knowing what's at the top of the list, and keeping you in your budget, as much as I'd want to sell you something, you know, that's $300,000-$400,000, it's not going to be the right thing for you. You know, keeping you within your long-term budget and meeting the top three on your wish list versus everything,
right?
That's going to make your process go a lot smoother, and long-term, it's going to make you a lot happier.
So one bedroom, one bath with a pool might be a little bit out of whack as far as priorities go.
That might be a little bit out of whack. So there's just things that we have to look at.
Shit.
Yeah, gotta have a pool.
But for some people that come to me though, they say all I want is a shop, and if there's one bedroom and one bath, then I'm fine with it.
Wow.
And so we'll find them that property, but that's a way different search than a three bedroom, two bath.
Right. Absolutely.
Might be the same.
Location probably comes into play too.
Might be the same price at the end of the day, depending upon how nice that shop is,
or even horse properties.
But it's a big difference. So
location can make a big difference.
So we really work off of those priority lists and help people meet those the best way possible. The number nine on this list that they had is huge, and it is not researching your neighborhood. When you get into a neighborhood, not knowing exactly what you need to know about it. Are you going to have kids in the future? What do the schools look like? Maybe you already do have kids. So what schools are they going to, and are you happy with those boundaries? Because the boundary lines are very different right now. Mm-hmm. And even some neighborhoods, for instance, out in Richland now, are busing from those neighborhoods to other neighborhoods in Richland. And so people need to know what they're purchasing, what schools they're serving.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have dogs and animals? Is there a dog park close by? Is there a park close by? What is the traffic pattern like when you leave to work in the morning?
How do you go about finding out that stuff? Because I know there were just recently some changes to school.
The best way is we always tell all of our clients, regardless of what you're told by your real estate agent, by the brochures that you see, by the information you see, we always direct people to the source. If you are very concerned about schools, you need to get with the Richland School District. Those folks are so helpful. The Kennewick School District, the Pasco School District, whatever you're looking in, call those folks. They will usually route you to the administration office at the district. A lot of times, because school boundaries involve the transportation district, you'll talk to the heads of those districts, and you go directly to the source and find out direct from the source for those people.
Bus garage people are great.
It is the best way. It is one of the best ways to verify. And then for the other thing is, when you find the house you like, I always suggest over the next couple days to people, spend some time at different times at the house. If you know you leave every morning for work at 7:30, drive up to the house you're thinking about buying at 7:20, get in your car and try to go to work. Are you on a major arterial that feeds to Hanford?
Mm-hmm.
You know, run your path out real quick. Go up there at night and see what things look like at night. See if the neighbors have parties every night,
Do your homework.
So spend a little time at the house, because there's a lot of times people might see a house at 2 in the afternoon and the traffic pattern might be very different at 6:30 or 7 when they want to be on their porch enjoying it. So you'll know a property when you find it, and then in your time periods that you have for contingencies and stuff, spend a little time getting to know the property.
Mm-hmm.
And so researching your neighborhood is huge.
Some good examples of that: we live four houses from Kamiokin, very quiet little neighborhood, but between 6:45 and 7:30 in the morning, it's like Grand Central Station because of all the Kamiokin traffic.
Yes,
exactly. But we
exactly.
knew that going in. And also, fortunately, the guy that we worked with when we bought our house, he said, okay, now there are covenants in this neighborhood, you know, where you live. You can do this. You can't have this. Your garage has to be, you know, we found out going in,
right,
we weren't going to be able to put in a garage because of the setbacks. Well, we were okay with that. But he said, these are all the neighborhood limitations. This is what happens with Kamiokin. And we're like, okay, we're all right with that.
Yeah, that's great.
But we knew going
in. You knew. And that is the biggest thing is, you know, once you know, then you can make an informed decision. And then the last point that I want, that I really wanted to get to and harp on today.
We got them all in.
I know.
Did we really?
We're doing really. I did skip one because the show next week is going to cover this point. I'll give you a little teaser. And that was the one I skipped over was keeping your feelings in check before you hire your home inspector.
Mm.
Not getting too excited about a property until you've had your home inspector tell you about the property.
But
next week we are gonna have a show dedicated to that entire point on home inspections. But the last thing is not considering the resale value of your home. If you know you're only going to be somewhere for 4 or 5 years and it's not for your own personal enjoyment and you might be reselling, you really might want to take a look at the market that your house relates to and the possibility for reselling. For instance, if you have a three-story home in an area that is largely made up of retirees, that's probably not a good idea for resale to have all those stairs. If it was just for your enjoyment for the next 20 years, great, buy the house. It's for you and it's for your family. But if you're going to need to be reselling, you might want to think about items that will affect the resale value and how you can get the most out of that house when you need to turn it. So that's one of the last things to think about is what am I going to be able to resell this house for? And for some people, these points that we've talked about, for some people, that's the first thing that they would like to think about. So these are kind of adjusted and moved around depending upon your needs, but every one of them are great considerations that buyers need to think about. I hope it's helped some of our listeners. There's one or two points that just jogged your mind, like, you know, I really should consider that, or I never did consider that, that's what we're here for, and we're here to help you avoid these mistakes. And so that is the job that we were here to do today. And Scott, I appreciate all of your input on the lending side of things. The first three or four mistakes was the Scott Ridgway show at Cobalt here. So
yes.
That's why we always say, and I was glad to see this article kind of reaffirm what we talk about on the show,
right,
is really in this real estate show, Scott comes first and then I take over after that. So,
but it's a team not only of what we're doing, but also our global network of people throughout Tri-Cities that
exactly.
If people have a need in a specific area, be it taxes, be it bookkeeping, be it a home inspector. We know people that we trust that we can refer out that are going to do a good job for people.
That sounds great. And Scott, when they need to talk to you about lending, how can they get a hold of you?
Scott Ridgway, Cobalt Mortgage. Everything you'd expect from your experienced local lender. You can see me on my website at scottridgway.com, and it'll bring you to just about any number or contact. 737-6004 is my direct line. And just give me a call, see what I can do to help you out.
All right. As always, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, at 727-8977. Everybody, enjoy your families this week. Enjoy the fair, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Right here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Don't forget the podcasting, too.
Thank you.
News Talk 870.